barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.
It is Tuesday, September 13th. Welcome to Menace to Sports. We are leveling this show up if you aren't ready. If you didn't catch it, I'm going to put the video, the card on the screen right now. We had a CJ Stroud breakdown video. It is Coach's Film. I went through and broke down 13 plays from the Notre Dame game and just talked about the things CJ Stroud did extremely well and the things that he needs to work on. It is, I'm telling you, I'm not saying this because it's me. It's just incredible value for a fan to be able to watch the coaches' film. You can watch the receivers. It's not TV bullshit. And this afternoon, I'm putting the whole Notre Dame game on our coaches' film breakdown. So make sure if you're interested in that, if you enjoy that video, or we got a treat for you on today's show because I'm going to do the same for Bryce Young. I have every throw that Bryce Young threw for the first three drives of the Texas game. And that video, the full game video, will be on our coaches' film show on Patreon. So if you're interested, I will mention it now. I will mention it several times because it's an incredible value. You will experience college football at a different level. So there it is right there, $20 a month for the VIP access to our major college football meeting room. Come check it out. The link is always below Chris, always in the bio. Wanted to start the show with that, mainly because I'm most excited about it. And we have a nice 8-minute video of Bryce Young, Coach's Film, throwing the ball against Texas. So we're going to watch that. But anyways, Chris, how are you on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
I'm great, man. I'm already getting cooked in the comment section for having my hood up, bro. But they got the AC broke at work. It's just, all it does is just blast. So I'm freezing, but I'm ready for football. I'm ready to talk about football. I feel like I've learned so much. Honestly, Zach, bro, these breakdowns are kind of a curse because I've been going around Twitter acting like I fucking know everything about football.
Chris is not educated.
Yeah, I'm about to coach my high school team. I can't even fake.
All I'm going to tell you is when I break these videos down, and you can watch the video, I probably should just shut up about it, but I'm not talking like these douchebags that think they know football really well and trying to use big words to talk over your head. Like, I'm literally just trying to explain in layman terms what is going on and trying to help fans, average fans, learn what's going on. What is football? What is going on in this play? How good is CJ Stroud? And we're going to talk about Bryce Young here in a minute. But I have a question before we get there, Chris. And it's after watching that Texas game. Obviously, people are going to be a little low on Alabama. In the comments, I want you to answer. It's on the screen right there. Will Alabama survive the regular season and make it to Atlanta undefeated? I'm not here to talk about if they're going to win the SEC, beat Georgia, win the national championship. That's all bullshit conversation. What I think is real conversation is this team, this Alabama Crimson Tide team, good enough to go 12-0 and make it to Atlanta unscathed? Because if so, a loss to Georgia, they probably still make the playoffs. If not, a loss to Georgia and they're out of the playoffs. So do you think Alabama is good enough to go 12-0 entering the SEC championship game in Alabama? Chris, what are your thoughts, first of all?
I don't think so. And today's trivia question for the chat, when is the last time Alabama and Nick Saban went through a full regular season undefeated, not counting the COVID year, because obviously that was a shortened season? That's the trivia question for today. I don't think they get there. I think they slip up and lose at some point, but it is interesting having this to start the season.
No doubt. And Volunteer fans, get ready. I'm not ready to announce it as a fact for sure because I haven't booked our travel accommodations. But there's a chance right now, a pretty high chance, that Menace to Sports is going on the road September 24th down to Knoxville, Tennessee for the Florida-Tennessee game. Sarah Blake is going to be there. She probably will jump on a live show with us as she is a huge Tennessee fan. And she is definitely something nice to look at and listen to talk. She has intelligent takes. She's very entertaining. So there's a high probability that is happening. So if you are in or around Knoxville, buckle up. We are coming to your city, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I really want to, and we're trying to make it work. So if so, We'll see you there. So if anyone is in Knoxville, slide in the DM, shoot me an email. I'd love to link up. Look at my five-year-old trying to FaceTime me during a show. But anyways, Chris, let's talk about Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud before I absolutely give my take. And then I'm going to put on the film. It's an 8-minute clip of film. I can't pause it and rewind it because of our software, but we will get that fixed in the future. But we're going to watch 8 straight minutes of Bryce Young through every pass he threw to start the Texas game. And I'm going to talk about it. Yeah. How bad the Alabama receivers are, how they aren't really doing much offensively, and it truly is just throw it to Jahmyr Gibbs. That's their offensive game plan. And we're going to watch where Bryce Young thrives and excels and where he struggles.
Yeah, so today we're doing like a live kind of a light study on Bryce. Obviously, there'll be a more in-depth breakdown that you do, and that'll be on the on kind of the Patreon. But, you know, these quarterbacks in my mind, Zach, will always be kind of twin flames. They're both from California. Both from big-time high schools, both ended up being big-time recruits, played on the same Elite 11 team. To me, they are linked. And now we're getting to see kind of year two of each of their development with guys with NFL pedigree and Bill O'Brien and Ryan Day. So we'll see. Right now, I think that they both didn't develop as much over the offseason as I would have liked. But I think this is QB1 and QB2, and I'm interested to know.
It absolutely is. Kind of your thoughts. And they will forever be tied together because they're both playing at such a high level, like you said, both from L.A., you know, both 5 stars, Elite 11. You know, the storyline started when they were juniors in high school, and it will continue into the draft and into the NFL as they compare the NFL careers. They will forever be tied to each other. And I did a full breakdown on it last year. I'm not going to regurgitate all of that information, but let's just put it this way. C.J. Stroud analytically was better than Bryce Young in every single statistical category outside, there was a couple that Bryce Young, you could say his total stats were better, but because CJ Stroud didn't play a game and didn't get that conference championship game, he actually had more touchdowns per game, more yards per game, every analytic versus under pressure versus blitz, deep balls, intermediate throws, time in the pocket, how quick he gets the ball out in every single statistical category last year, he was better than Bryce Young. And so you have to say, all right, after 2 games, right? Both played a formidable opponent. Both played a very below average opponent, right? So they have one similar. Texas and Notre Dame feels like a similar game, right? Mm-hmm. Texas is probably a little bit better, but I'm sure, it's a similar game, right?
And then you're facing like two really good defensive minds in Al and in Gary Patterson, guys that have had several months to prepare for you. Is kind of how this is a prepare for your quarterbacks.
Without a doubt. So you can compare the two's performances through 2 weeks, right? Because the reality is this is not always all entirely on the quarterback, right? There's a lot of times, like in Alabama's case, when we watch this 8-minute clip, you're going to sit there and go, what the fuck is this? This is Alabama's receiving core? Like, they're awful. They can't get open against anyone. They are terrible. So the onus falls on the receivers. But at the end of the day, when you talk about Heisman race, when you talk about those national prestigious awards, it is solely a stat-based award. And Bryce Young's not going to have the stats CJ does. You look at break it down right now. Look at deep balls through 2 games. CJ Stroud's 4 of 8, 50% completion percentage. Bryce Young is yet to hit one. 0 for 4, 0 deep balls. Jameson Williams is no longer wearing Crimson Tide. He's in Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's a problem for Bryce Young.
He cannot save you.
Intermediate routes, they're about the same, 54% to 55%. And then short throws on offense. And when we watch this cut up, you're going to see how often Bryce Young is asked to just flip a flat arrow or bubble or swing. It is incredible the amount of short throws that they ask him to make. CJ Stroud is making far more NFL throws. Half of CJ Stroud's throws are over 10 yards, half are under. That's actually a very good balance, meaning he's going to throw it anywhere. Bryce Young, over 60% of his throws are under 10 yards. So it is heavily oriented in that short area. Right, you look at under pressure. I've always said quarterback play under pressure indicates a big-time quarterback. C.J. Stroud under pressure is 86% completion percentage. That is up 21% from when he's kept clean. So he absolutely thrives when he is under pressure. You watch that cut-up I put out in the coach's film room yesterday. You see some throws on the run when he's under pressure that are absolutely absurd. I mean, just like best I've ever seen type of throws. Bryce Young, 37.5% completion percentage under pressure. That is a 40% drop off from when he's kept clean. All right. Then you look at, say, all right, what about when teams blitz Bryce Young or CJ Stroud? How good are they at executing in blitz scenarios? C.J. Stroud's an 86% completion percentage. His completion percentage goes up 23% when teams blitz, meaning he knows how to set protections. He knows how to navigate the pocket and make blitz coverages pay. Bryce Young, 50% completion percentage versus blitz. That's a 27% drop off from base defense. So the answer is this. When you play Bryce Young, you need to blitz the shit out of him because he doesn't thrive under pressure. Mm-hmm. If you drop back and play base coverage, he's going to beat you. That's the game plan for Bryce Young. And we'll get to the film in a second. I also wanted to throw in that Ohio State is better on third down than Alabama, which I always put on a quarterback. So there's my statistical analysis, Chris.
I'm here for it. I mean, honestly, I'm really intrigued kind of at some point to get the tape side by side so we can chart the throws and kind of look at like the average field of depth on film and see why that is, whether it's called or whether that's kind of the shots that he's willing to take for CJ is kind of where I'm at.
No doubt. So I'm going to throw this video up there and we're just going to talk through it. It's 8 minutes. I'm going to go through all of it. This is every passing play that CJ Stroud had against Texas. And if I had a fast forward, we could make this go faster, but you'll see the majority of his throws are short throws. A lot of this Jahmyr Gibbs on a swing screen. And just Alabama not blocking well. But this kid is a monster. I mean,
he's so good.
He is so talented, so explosive. You can see why he was a priority in the transfer portal. And I would say I liked Alabama's offensive line. I mean, a lot of these are RPOs, right? You can watch it here.
So is this zone then?
This is a pass play. This is a pure screen. The running back gets out leverage, but he makes a great cut.
Gets popped a little bit. It's like a little hit.
But this is Bryce Young. This is what Bryce Young brings to the table. I mean, you talk about the struggles. And I want you to watch the receivers, too. Because the receivers don't get open against anyone. I think this is one of them. I wish I had a clicker. We could really speed this up. But either way, now you got play action, and you just look at these receivers. Blanket covered across the field. So what's he have to do?
Check
it down to Jahmyr Gibbs. Check it down to Jahmyr Gibbs. That's a 22-yard gain on a check down. That is this offense right now.
What is he reading there, Zach?
So he's just trying to talk to him about the protection right there, that if that guy comes, he needs him, right? He doesn't come. It's four-man rush. Good pass pro. And then this kid, look at this, in the open field. Good, I mean, he just eats yards.
So when that Mike linebacker doesn't come, that kind of gives Jahmyr free reign to just slip out to the flat.
Oh, yeah. He had to get out. He was talking to the tight end. The tight end was in protection if they needed him. So now we get pure drop back. And good delivery. We'll see this from the end zone. Yeah, but look, it's always in the middle of the field. It's in breaking routes. Right, you see C.J. Stroud's throwing field comebacks. So good pass pro, and he delivers a strike. Great throw and catch, but it's all right in front of him. It's simple, simple throws, right? Flat routes, swing routes, routes thrown right in front of him. Zero deep balls attempted through two games. I don't know. I've seen that. Again, little swing pass. Decent job blocking by the receiver, right? These are simple throws.
Jahmyr Gibbs is so good because it didn't look like they had the numbers out there. Was it 3-on-1?
So this is an RPO. You see the difference, right? They actually blitz. That's why he threw it. And it's an easy 8-yard gain, right? But these are simple throws for Bryce Young. All right, we got about 6 minutes left. Here you go.
Just talking ball, coach.
Just talking ball with no ability to rewind and point anything out. But that's all right. We'll get there. All right, here goes a drop back now. Now, this is just absurd. You'll see this from the end zone. These receivers don't even know what the fuck they're doing. It's a mesh concept against man coverage. Chris, if you have a man covering you and you have a drag route, do you think you should stop or settle ever?
Never.
You should run away from the man.
Three of them settle?
Watch this receiver from the right. Like, he's jogging, and then he settles down. Like, what the fuck are you? Run away from man.
That's Jermaine Burton, Georgia's finest.
A fucking idiot.
Developed.
Holloman Wiggins, man, you're doing a great job there teaching football. And Bryce Young gets fucking tattooed for it.
See, heat here?
This is what I love. He identifies pressures. He gets the line sorted out. He's a baller, man. This is not a shit on Bryce Young deal. Now, this is the one. Man, if I could run that back. That route right there, that should have been a pick, and it's solely on the receiver. If you can run it back on YouTube, run it back. The receiver just rounds the route, doesn't snap it off. It's a horrible route. And because of it, the corner jumps it, and this should be an interception. This kid drops the ball. But look, so see how Bryce Young flips the protection. He sees the pressure coming. Now the line's going to slide to our right. Pick up the pressure. Just great job. Great quarterback play. And then he delivers what should have been an interception, but this fucking guy has butters. 41 or 5, whoever it was.
Uh-oh, Bill O'Brien.
All right, now we're halfway through the cut-up. Bear with me. Tell me if this is a Heisman-caliber player. Again, same mesh concepts, and now what's he do?
between
the V route, angle route to Jahmyr Gibbs. It's like every fucking play.
He if you transfer and wear that number one, you're getting all the rock.
That's what it is. I think it's like a inked in blood with the devil. Mm-hmm. Now, good route. He actually's covered pretty well, but great ball placement by Bryce Young. Like this is where he lives though, right in front of himself, like under 10 yards, right in the middle of the field. That's where he makes most of his throws. All right, here comes in. Now we've got a little motion. It's zone coverage. Now this should be, look at these routes though. Should be just the receiver running the drag route from the top doesn't ever get over there. He starts breaking it up the field. I'm telling you, these receivers are just, they're poorly coached. I'm not going to say they're awful because these routes are half speed, shitty routes. Like, look at this receiver running the drag. Like, bro, you have to get over there. You're the fucking throw. They covered everyone else. You have to be that third option.
Yeah, there were some comments coming from the Bama camp about guys jogging through routes.
I mean, just awful. All right, here you go. Here's his next throw. Motion to 3x1, pure zone coverage. I didn't mean to put this on there. Well, it's a good run. Fuck it.
This is free content.
It looked like a counterplay. Let's watch it here. So Jahmyr Gibbs. Damn, I didn't mean to grab the run play. Oh, no, it's just a pin and pull. And not a good block by the tight end. Anyways, Bryce Young did a great job of handing that one off.
How much do you think this is like? I mean, I see it in the comments right now. They're talking about Tyler Harrell. That's the fast kid. He's hurt right now.
Well, they need him because these motherfuckers can't run, can't get open, can't separate.
There's Jermaine Burton in motion. Is this a swing out to him? Oh, that looked like a false start.
It was a false start. What the fuck? I took all these plays off. I wonder what's going on here. Oh, well. Either way, you see what Bill O'Brien's trying to steal a little Steve Sarkisian, Devontae Smith action, right? Like that return motion swing pass that killed Ohio State. But Jermaine Burton's jogging. Like the point of that deception is to sprint and then put your foot in the ground and run as fast as you can away. If it's man coverage, you get your man player lost. Not to fucking stop and then jog to the field. I mean, I don't know what Holloman Wiggins is doing, but he should, that receiver room should be getting motherfucked up and down all week. All right, let's try this again. 3x1. Drop back pass. Oh, this is the one he throws to the field to the tight end. Wide ass open. Still an in-breaking route, but that's a little bit tougher throw, but he's wide ass open.
I mean, he was forced to process information there. It looks like that offensive line is strong.
Oh, he's not stupid. He gets through his reads. Yeah. I mean, he's a smart player. You can tell. Watch it. Just watch the stripe of his helmet right here. So he's going to go one, two, three. I mean, it's a three receiver progression. And he got to his outside read, the guy that was wide open. I mean, he does a good job. They just don't ask him to do that much. And that's not a hard throw. 8 yards on the far, on the opposite hash.
No, he's not throwing any of these guys open. It's kind of my critique here.
But again,
the swing.
I mean, sweet play. You really got to zip that ball. It's got to get out fast. Let's see his release. Way too slow. Way too slow.
A really good tackle.
Step back, wind up throw. You have to just wheel and deal that bitch right away, or else the defense has time to trigger like they did.
You gotta flick that.
All right, here's his next throw. Got a little under a minute left, so probably like two or three more plays. Again, another screen, right? These are all of his throws. I did not leave a single throw off. He's thrown what, two balls downfield? Two, and one of them was an 8 yard, what I call an India route, like an in breaking route at 8 yards.
On
the hash.
Robert just pointed out we haven't seen one 10 plus outside the hashes yet.
Zero. No. There's not one on here. I mean, I could hate to be the bearer of bad news or good news. There's not one on here. But it's going to be awesome to break this full offensive performance down. And this is one. This is fucking running back. Now that's not on him, but if you run that back on YouTube, there wasn't a receiver open there either.
No, he had time to get open. I'm not gonna say
Jahmyr Gibbs or the guard need to pick up an A gap run through. Look at Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Didn't we see Cam Akers get benched for that?
You allow an A gap run through? Like that's fucking no. You can never do that. That's rule number one of pass pro. You never allow an A gap run through. So anyways, I just wanted to put that up there. This is not a shit on Bryce Young. This is more hey, Bama has an issue here. Mm-hmm. They have an issue at wideout. They have an issue in the throw game. This Bryce Young is not going to throw for 4,000 yards and 50 fucking touchdowns. It's not going to happen unless they have like a bunch of receivers just like pop out of the portal and into Holloman Wiggins' room. It's just, I don't know what they're doing.
I'm worried, man, because in all honesty, it's like the simple fact of the matter is because Bryce Young doesn't throw guys open the way that CJ Stroud is. You need the receivers to be better. And there's been nothing positive. Like, there's been no signs of us thinking the receivers are going to get better. Like, zero sign at all. Like, Jermaine Burton was supposed to be their A1A, and he looks abysmal out there.
Oh, there's no doubt. So I'm going to throw this back up. If you didn't ask before, you weren't in here. Will Alabama survive the regular season undefeated? Will they make it to Atlanta in the SEC championship game? And will they be undefeated? Mm-hmm. Will they come out unscathed? I'm just curious your thoughts in the comments.
So Philip has a really good question. He's typed it in the chat. And the question is this a Bryce Young thing? Like, is Bryce Young doing something wrong? Or is it just kind of how the offense is built? What are your thoughts on
that? No, that's exactly my point. I think Bryce is a fantastic player. That's why I've said several times, I'm not shitting on Bryce Young. This receiver group is awful. And the offensive scheme has taken a step backwards now that Sark has left and Bill O'Brien has taken over. Like, I watch clips and I'm like, either the receivers are horribly coached or the scheme is just fucking dumb. Because that deep ball, that the last clip, you watch it. I have no fucking idea what type of concept it is. It looked like a three-level pass, but the one receiver inside released and ran like a weird fucking banana route. Like, they're just, it's either the scheme is fucked up, or what's most likely is the receivers are just dog shit. They don't run good routes. They don't get their depth because Bill O'Brien's been a head coach in the NFL. He fucking knows football. It's not like he forgot offensive football. Now, I don't think he's called great games. I don't think he's game planned that well, but these receivers are awful. Awful. Yeah. For the expectation, right? For the expectation level at Bama. Like, when you watch when you watch Georgia, when you watch Ohio State, the receivers are better coached. Let's just put it that way.
We could end up kind of at a situation, Zach, where if you look at the quarterbacks who've made big time level throws, like the 10 to 20 yards, that Bryce Young is going to be behind guys like Stetson Bennett, Hooker, CJ, maybe AR, maybe even Will Levis, for the simple fact, schematically wise, I mean, those guys are taking more shots. And I don't know if it's because they feel like they can, or if it's purely a scheme thing, because I don't know how Bill O'Brien can watch his back. And Nick Saban, too. Like Nick Saban's a great coach. There's no way Nick Saban allows this to be the case for the entire year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that he'll allow it to go on after this year, because Bama, for all the recruiting successes Bama's had, you just don't see it on the field when it comes to receiver. And I know that's kind of near and dear to my heart, but I'm not seeing the star power. I'm not seeing the development. I'm not seeing the shit we watched. I mean, they had a fucking room with Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Judy, Devontae Smith, like, fucking loaded room. What happened? Honestly, I'm curious. What the fuck happened?
That's a good ass question. All right, Zach, now that you've had time to sit down and study CJ Stroud a little bit and sit down and study Bryce Young early, who do you think made the biggest improvement from the end of last season to now, or have both guys kind of stayed the same or even regressed?
It's too early to tell, because Bryce, when you watch the film, Bryce doesn't do anything wrong. Like, it's not like CJ, I can break down things he misses, right? Mm-hmm. Where you say, damn, he missed this throw because he did this fundamentally. Damn, he should have taken off here, but he didn't. Like, Bryce doesn't miss those things. I just think Bryce is going to have a drop-off year because of what he's working with. So I don't know that either really improve much. I mean, but we will find that out down the stretch. I don't want to beat a dead horse. CJ's got to run the ball. He's got to step into throws, be a tough guy, fucking learn how to stay in the pocket and deliver strikes. And I'd like to see more creativity and kind of open the offense up outside of just throwing field comebacks every fucking play.
Who has higher upside, CJ Stroud or Bryce Young?
CJ Stroud has higher upside, but that's with the assumption that he will grow a pair of balls and his heart will actually show in a passion for the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know that ever happened, but CJ has far greater upside when it comes to physical talent throwing the football. He does. But Bryce is a better player. Bryce is a better player.
Well, that's my next question. Who has the higher floor?
Well, Bryce Young right now is play. If the floor is how they're playing today, Bryce Young is playing mm-hmm. better than CJ is. So
I think this may end up working out in everybody's case kind of right now, because there is a scenario where Bryce Young ends up being QB1 and drafted number one overall. And what interests me with that is usually when you're drafting number one overall, one of the points of issue is your offensive line. So I think if CJ Stroud ends up at a place with a better offensive line, naturally he's going to be better because he can do more with receiver play, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So both are big-time talents. Like, the big thing that we're trying to get across is we haven't seen Bryce make those big-time throws the way that ESPN talks about it.
Right.
Like Bryce Young's Heisman moment was a scramble when he should have taken a sack to get a half of 13, 14 yards. Zach, I want to throw a couple super chats up, and then I want to move on to the next topic. Our guy Cody, Bama fan, number one degenerate here. Zach to Bama as OC, 14-0, just watch.
I would just to comment on it. I wasn't ever going to take that job at Alabama because I just love my kids too much. I really would have loved to, because I would have loved to grow as a coach under Nick Saban and also get to see how this motherfucker does it. Like, I wish I would have done it in an alternate universe.
Like a simulation.
Yeah. Or like, you know, maybe if I had custody of my kids and could just move them to Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. But.
Heard. Urban Meyer, what offense you running at Notre Dame? Congrats, old friend.
What's up, coach?
There's some smoke about a couple people calling for jobs. It's funny because, never mind. We're not allowed to comment on
Marcus
right
is
now.
A good friend of mine. He has been since he was at Cincinnati and even before that when he was with Daryl Hazel at Purdue and Kent State.
Yeah, so holy. Do we think that Ryan Day will give the Bucs a chance to punish teams? Why hire Fry? Hashtag an average fan podcast. Thank you, Lil Fleazy, for the five.
Lil Fleazy. I think you're going to see this run game. And I'm telling you, if this breakdown of this Notre Dame game, you're going to see some really great things in the run game. And I'm not breaking down the Arkansas State game. Somebody, I got a couple messages. When are you going to talk about the Arkansas State game? Like, I'm not fucking talking about it. We did a live reaction show. Denzel Burke got toasted. Everyone else looked pretty good. It was Arkansas State. It was you learned nothing from it other than Denzel Burke might be a little bit of a liability. But I think I love what I see out of the run game. I mean, I saw wind back, which is like it's off of inside zone, but it bounces to get Travion Henderson in space. I saw a counter play that was blocked to perfection. Like this run game is developing, and that's why you hired Fry. And that is what we're going to see. When we get to the Wisconsin game, you're going to see a dynamic run game, hopefully with a dynamic receiving group and throw game, and you're going to see this offense explode. That's what, as a Buckeye fan, you're hoping at least.
Yeah. Thank you, T, for the five. How many missed tackles did the Buckeyes have last week? Go Bucks. I didn't see.
It was six. Single digits, okay. Six.
That's good. I mean, the Fleming kid was shaking and baking, but I don't remember a lot of missed tackles.
No, they had six missed tackles. So I'm telling you, the defense through two games, I mean, again, I need to see them against a dynamic offense. Like Notre Dame's offense was not dynamic. They didn't have playmakers that are going to make you miss. Like, we'll see who that is. Wisconsin's running back is legit. I think he has a chance to be a make you miss guy and was last year as a true freshman, but we'll see when this Maryland is honestly the one I'm looking at the most because of how Mike Locksley's offense operates.
Correct.
They'll get guys in space and we'll see how well this defense tackles. But to date, A-plus tackling defense.
Are you worried about Denzel Burke? There's been just a lot of talk about him kind of like maybe he's got a nagging injury. He has been locked up. Maybe at some point whenever Hancock's healthy.
If you remember, Chris.
I do. I do, coach.
He was good last year. He wasn't great. But the qualifying statement was always, he's really good for a true freshman. Right? But at some point, you need to drop off that qualifying statement. It just has to be, he's really fucking good. Not as a true freshman or, oh, he's only a sophomore. At some point, he has to be a baller. And he's having some of those struggles he had last year that I accounted to freshman woes. So is he in a sophomore slump? Will he come out of it? I mean, time will tell. But he's starting to look like maybe he has a little bit of a liability in him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have it up. Wendy just asked, how many missed tackles did Bama have? Did you have?
I don't have it up. I can pull it up. I went through it when we broke down the game.
Yeah, we talked about it. We'll grab that for you, Wendy, in a sec. You just kind of hang tight with us. But Zach, I got a couple games for us today, man. Not games. I got a couple segments for us today. I want to play How Warm Is That Seat? Because through 2 weeks, Zach, it feels like college football has been crazy. There's a lot of stuff moving around. And I was upset. Now, in the new NIL world, I'm curious your thoughts about the leash, like how long it'll take for seats to warm up. And so the way we'll play this is that we'll do 1 to 5. How warm is the seat? 5 being Scott Frost, fire him before the buyout. And 1 being he's just fine. You know, it's warm like someone was sitting on it before.
Yeah.
You ready? It looks like Bama had 12 missed tackles. Oh, Bama had 13 missed tackles. There you go. Mm-hmm. We'll start with Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher lost to App State after the $30 million class. What is this, year 3 or year 4 at Texas A&M? 8-5 last year, obviously. Preseason, you know, top 10 team. Zach, how warm is Jimbo Fisher's seat?
It's got to be a 4 out of 5. Like, he has a chance to salvage it, obviously. He still has conference play coming. But you can't go 8-5 last year. Get this recruiting class. I mean, he was 4-4. He was 500 in the SEC last year. He finished third in the West. You can't pay a coach $10 million and then give him a $30 million recruiting class and just allow mediocrity, because this is what's happened with college football. You start paying these bigger dollar amounts. Now it's for recruiting classes and head coaches and assistant coaches. Fucking Jim Knowles makes $2 million a year as a D coordinator. Like, you start paying this money, you demand results immediately. There is no longer give him a year or two. Those recruits are just freshmen. No. You cut a check for 30 mil and then cut a check for 10 to the head coach, then cut another check for 10 to the staff. You better win fucking now. And I mean, we're talking about, this is year five. And what has he done? The best he's done is tied for second in the SEC West. He's never even been to Atlanta. You can't pay a coach this much money and fill his program with talent and then allow a loss to App State. Like, it is a 4 pushing a 5.
Their next 3 weeks, Zach, they have, they're playing Miami this Saturday. Then they get Arkansas, then Mississippi State. What does he have to go in those next three games record-wise to get off the hot seat?
I mean, honestly, to get off the hot seat, he needs to go 3-0. To not get fired, he needs to go 2-1. If he goes 1-2, and I'm going to tell you right now, Miami probably is going to beat him. Arkansas should beat him. And watch out for Mike Leach and Mississippi State. Like, if he goes 0-3, he's fucking gone. He might not even make it to the Mississippi State game if he loses to Miami and Arkansas. Like, Jimbo Fisher might be the squeakiest fucking wheel that gets chopped off midseason in the SEC, because I don't see who. How are they going to turn it around? That's the question. They lost to App State. Two, they don't have a fucking quarterback. Haynes King stinks. Jimbo's offense is archaic. He hasn't developed or enhanced it at all since he had Jameis Winston. And honestly, the offense wasn't great with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston just had an incredible fucking talent at arm, and he made plays within the confines of this offense. I mean, it's a fucking scorching hot seat that he's sitting in College Station. It is.
And then after that Mississippi State game, Zach, you know what they got? Big bad Bama. So, I mean, that's a run for them. And to your point with Jameson, they also had Dalvin Cook and Calvin Benjamin. Yeah, so they just, they ran into some fucking dudes there in the ACC.
And don't get me wrong, he gets credit for bringing those guys in.
He absolutely does. All right, the next one I got is Mr. Marcus Freeman. How hot is his seat after losing to Marshall starting off the season 0-2?
So listen, it's at a 2. I mean, he's started off 0-3 in his tenure. They're not going to count that bowl loss, and neither do I. That it's not his program, not his team yet. He was the head coach. So what, he should have called a timeout or something at some point, and that's why it's blamed on him. It's not blamed on him. So in my opinion, he's 0-2 as the head coach at Notre Dame. He kept the game closer than it was supposed to be against Ohio State. So you can't really hold that against him as some major debacle. And he lost to Marshall. So this loss to Marshall is his one thing that is looming, where it's like, what the fuck? How do we lose to Marshall? We're Notre Dame. So I think it's about a 2. That being said, he just lost his starting quarterback. Notre Dame's schedule is not the easiest schedule in the world. It's not super tough, but if you're losing to Marshall, every game on the schedule is losable. Exactly. At this point. I mean, BYU just beat Baylor. They got to play BYU in Vegas. They got to play USC at the end of the year. I mean, if he is a 7-5 football team, it looks like he probably is going to be, then he loses all of his shtick in recruiting. Now he's no longer a recruiting guru. He no longer is the hot hire, hot name, hot team. So long-term, we did a whole episode on it yesterday. It kind of popped, the segment video did. He is in major trouble. But right now, his seat's not that hot. He's just got to get it right. He's got to get it fixed. He's got to find a way to get that team to win these football games. Simple as that.
They have 2-0 Cal next, and then they have to play at North Carolina, who has a very dangerous offense. So those are a couple games that we'll be paying close attention to. And I'm going to stay within the Notre Dame staff, because a name that's kind of being thrown some blame, Mr. Tommy Reese. The offense hasn't looked very good. The quarterback play has been bad. How hot is his seat? Because his job is directly tied to Marcus Freeman's.
I mean, his seat should have been, I mean, on a 5 to start the year. I don't think he's a very good offensive coordinator. I don't think he's a very good offensive mind. I get it. He played college quarterback there. Woo, good for him. Like, I watch their offense. I don't know what they're doing. They're not very well coached. They don't run good routes. I mean, just their quarterback looks, I mean, at times he looks well coached, and I get it. He's young. But this Tommy Reese offense is an epic failure. And Marcus Freeman is going to have to alleviate some heat if he goes 7-5, 6-6. And that heat will be alleviated by chopping that motherfucker off the staff. Like, you talk about the head of the snake. That is the head of the snake that's going to get chopped. Tommy Rees will be gone and a new OC will enter in South Bend, Indiana. That's what will happen.
All right. Last one for you today, just because, you know, just to keep it kind of with the coaches that lost over the weekend. I'm talking about Mr. Brian Kelly. How hot is his seat, or is it even hot because he just got to LSU? And we're talking about first-year coaches after that loss.
You know, the loss to Florida State was a close loss. I think, you know, some of the body language culture stuff just shows you it's a lot like Mike Norvell. It's honestly like Mike Norvell when he took over at Florida State. There is a culture issue at LSU. This is not a quick fix. And I don't know that I don't think Brian Kelly is the guy for the job at LSU to fix the culture and develop a championship caliber team. I don't believe in him. I think he's a phony. That being said, I don't think that you can right now panic and say it's extremely hot seat. I know they paid him $10 million, but from what I saw in that game, they have major cultural issues. They need to recruit better and they need to build the culture within the team. It's not going to happen overnight. So I think his seat is at about a 2, but that motherfucker could have turned up real fast, real fast. I mean, he goes out and beats Southern U, whoever the fuck that is, 65-17. And so you got to give him time. Give him time. Let's see how he does against Ole Miss. See how he does against Alabama. Like, he's got a fucking stretch here, Chris. I know you probably were going to mention it, but they got to go ranked Tennessee at home. Let me see if I got these order right. Ranked Tennessee at home. Ranked Florida on the road. Ranked Ole Miss at home. Ranked Alabama at home. On the road to ranked Arkansas. That five-game stretch is fucking insane.
That's the five-game stretch I was going to mention. I think that's kind of a war zone, a minefield, because you could legitimately lose all four of those, and it's tricky. So I don't think his seat is hot, Zach, but I do think there's gasoline on the floor.
Well,
so,
listen, you go 0-5 in those ranked games. If Tennessee beats you at home, Ole Miss beats you at home, and then Alabama beats you at home, and you drop both to Florida and Arkansas, he goes 0-5. He might be hit. I mean, that seat will be a 4 real quick.
Again, things move very, very quickly. I want to ask you, because we mentioned at least two first-time head coaches, or first-time, like, they just got to their new jobs. How long should coaches have in this NIL era? Should it be a 2-year leash to start? Should it be a 3-year leash? Or is it kind of a case-by-case scenario?
It's so situation-specific, right? And it can't just be a leash. Like, if he doesn't do well, he's fired. Like, you have to show improvement, show recruiting prowess and improvement. And if you show that it's going in the right direction, they'll give you 3 years. But you're not going to get much longer than that. You got to flip the roster, and in year 3, as long as you've improved every year, you have to be you have to meet expectations. You can't be like Jimbo Fisher in year 5 losing to App State after having never been to Atlanta and they're paying you $100 million. Like, you can't do that, or else you're going to get fired quick. And I think Texas A&M is looking long and hard at this Jimbo Fisher regime and saying, well, it might be time to move on, especially with the financial commitment from their boosters in NIL money and everything else.
And the staff, too. I mean, they went out and paid a staff. Like, Steve Adazio is expensive. Like, those dudes are expensive.
Fuck yeah. They have, on paper, one of the best coaching staffs in college football.
Absolutely. I remember we talked about it a little while ago. All right, Zach, I want to move on a little bit. Unless you want to talk about Bill O'Brien, if he has a warm seat or not, or do you think he's probably cool?
Everyone has a warm seat under Nick Saban. If you're not performing, everyone's seat is hot. I mean, Pete Golding, I think, is good because their defense is playing well and recruited well and executing well. But if they weren't, he'd have a hot, really hot seat. Nick Saban doesn't fuck around.
Fair. All right, Zach, the AP poll, we didn't talk about it because I didn't know how I wanted to talk about it, because I think the AP poll is complete bullshit. But I want to get your take on a couple teams. We'll call this one contender or pretender. After last week, we learned that Texas A&M is absolutely a pretender. Now, there's some teams in the top 10. And what I mean is contending. I'm talking about going into the final 3 weeks of the season with a shot to make the playoff. To me, that is what dictates a contender. So to start, I'm going to ask you about the, according to the AP poll, the number 22 team in the country, Penn State. You think they are a contender or a pretender, or are they appropriately ranked?
I think they're appropriately ranked. Penn State, there's a lot of hesitation believing in Sean Clifford and Penn State. And we're going to find out. I know Auburn's not very good this year, but they got to go to Auburn. And if they win in that environment, no matter the fact that Auburn's down or not, I think they should be a top 20 team. Starting the year 3-0. I mean, this is a make or break year for James Franklin. It really is. And I'm not buying the hype, but I think they're adequately ranked at 22 for a 2-0 football team, especially considering some of the performances we've seen out there. I mean, some of these teams that are on this list, like, that have lost games to lesser opponents, you got to put them on the list. I mean, they got them ahead of Pitt, ahead of A&M, ahead of Oregon. That's about right.
Yep. No, I agree. They did get jumped by Texas after Texas's close loss to Bama.
As they should have.
Yep. Which is absolutely. And then coming up in the next, 4 weeks, they have, obviously you said at Auburn, and then, they play Central Michigan, but then they get Northwestern and Michigan. I think those are two good measuring sticks for them that we'll learn a lot more about them. Another team I want to ask you about, Tennessee is ranked at number 15 in the country, right in front of NC State, right below Utah. Are they a contender or a pretender?
Well, I mean, Tennessee is interesting because their defense has improved. I think they have legitimate skill at receiver, and Hendon Hooker does well what they ask Hendon Hooker to do. Now, do I think Hendon Hooker has what it takes to be a top 10 team? The jury's still out on that. I haven't seen that yet. I love his competitive nature. I love the way he operates within the scheme. I don't think he's a great passer. He's like a better version of, that's not even fair. I was going to say of AR-15, but he's not as good of an athlete. So I think Tennessee's right where they should be. Top 15 team, got a lot to prove. You got to beat Kentucky. You got to beat Florida at home. I mean, they have some tests coming up that you're going to find out how good Tennessee actually is.
Mm-hmm. But, and the big one, of course, so they play Akron this week. That's not the big one I'm referring to. The big one's going to be next week when
Florida Gators come to town. Billy Napier's crew.
Mm-hmm. And that's another interesting quarterback battle. I like Hendon Hooker a lot. I think he's good enough to overcome some of the deficiencies they see, and I think he has improved from last year based on the stuff that they're asking him to do, playing at a fantastic pace. All right, this one, they play Texas A&M this week. Miami, Zach, they are ranked inside the top 15, number 13 in the country. I think that Tennessee is a little better. Right now, Miami's ranked 13th. Are they a contender or a pretender?
I mean, you look at what they've done. They played two teams that are down, right? Virginia Tech and Duke. I'm sorry, they played – well, I'm looking at the wrong thing here.
They played
Southern Miss and Bethune-Cookman. Excuse me. So they haven't played anybody. And they were underwhelming against Southern Miss. They struggled a little bit. I mean, you're going to find out everything you need to know about Miami this weekend. I mean, I think Mario Cristobal is an excellent football coach. I think that, they got a chance with Tyler Van Dyke. I don't think they're back. The U is not back. I think they, we'll see what happens against A&M. I mean, it's at A&M. Huge test for them on the road. And it's probably unlikely A&M drops this one after losing to App State. I'm sure those coaches have been coaching with their hair on fire all week. But this is the signature game for Mario Cristobal's beginning of his tenure, right? If they can beat A&M at A&M, they absolutely belong in the top 15. If they can't, then, we got to let it play out. They might be a top 25 team. They might not be.
I hear you. You want to say contender. You want to.
Well, they're not. I'll tell you this much. Doesn't look like they're going to be a national contender. Okay. I don't. Could they win the ACC? Possibly, because the ACC is pretty bad. Could they beat Clemson? Absolutely, they could. I don't like at all what Clemson's doing offensively, and I think DJ Uiagalelei is one foot out the door by the time they play him late in the year. So, the jury's still out. I think they're about where they should be. I would flip Miami and Tennessee, just because at least Tennessee had beat Pitt. Pitt's a decent team. They won the ACC last year, and I think everyone knows my thoughts on Pitt, but that's a more formidable opponent than Southern Miss and Bethune-Cookman.
So I'm hearing a little sprinkle of contender for them. Zach,
you want to hear contender.
Zach, staying in the ACC just real briefly, Clemson, we referenced, they are now a top five team in the country, right behind Michigan. Are they a contender or a pretender? Their big game really is going to be Miami late in the year.
They're absolutely a pretender, and I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. I mean, they beat a bad beat a Georgia Tech team with a fourth quarter surge against a Georgia Tech team they're far more talented than, right? Talent won out. You look late in that third quarter, that is a ball game. It's a one score game. Georgia Tech is right in it. And then they go beat Furman by 23 points. Like 35-12 is the final score. And when you play Furman, Clemson is absolutely a pretender. They should be down there with the likes of Miami and Tennessee. Having them in the top five is just solely based on, past history, Trevor Lawrence, and, this Clemson that doesn't exist anymore. I think I honestly can count probably 3 losses on their schedule. I think they could lose to NC State. They could lose to Florida State. They could lose to Louisville. They definitely could lose to Notre Dame, and they could lose to Miami. Those are all losable games. I don't think they lose all 5, but I think they drop at least 2 of those 5. So Clemson does not belong in the top 5. No chance.
Definitely a pretender. Number 11, Michigan State, Zach. They're 2-0. Last year, they rose up to number 7. I thought they were a little bit of a pretender. Mel Tucker and the guys.
Hey, Mel Tucker hit the portal, got a bunch of transfer DBs to fix that pass defense. They haven't really been tested yet, or haven't been tested at all. So again, the thing about these Mel Tucker teams is you don't know who the fuck they are. I mean, they came out last year. You're like, I don't know any of these players. Like, not one of them. They're all brand new. And then Kenneth Walker III is like the best running back in the country, and they surge, and you're like, holy shit, this is a really good football team. Well, all those guys left. They hit the portal again. I have no idea about this football team. I mean, I know a couple players that played last year that were pretty good players, but the jury is entirely out. I think they're adequately ranked at 11. If Mel Tucker proved anything last year, it's that he can put a team together through the portal, and he put one together again this year. They're already 2-0. We'll see how they pan out down this stretch, but I think they're right about where they should be, just outside the top 10.
I want to move to their twin flame then. Michigan, ranked number 4 in the country. Looks good, feels good. Obviously, they were, you know, reigning Big Ten champs. Are they a contender or a pretender there?
They're absolutely a contender. And I know Buckeye fans hate when I talk positively about Michigan, but I like their defense. J.J. McCarthy's the guy. Finally, Jim Harbaugh listened to me. And I think that they got a real chance here. I mean, I love their running backs. I think they have a couple receivers who can really play. Their offensive line is really good. I think they are right where they should be. You're going to have a top 4 matchup, maybe a top 3 matchup in Columbus, Ohio, come that Saturday after Thanksgiving, and it's going to live up to the bill, the narrative. I think Michigan is right where they should be at 4, and we'll see how they play down the stretch. They might deserve to jump some of the teams in front of them, honestly.
I didn't put this one in the notes. I'm just curious your thoughts, because I think it's interesting. Oklahoma right now is ahead of USC, and to me, I don't think that's right. No. I think that USC is the better team. Zach, yeah. Is Oklahoma like the biggest pretender in the top 10? I mean, Kentucky are in the top 10, and I think that they're a bigger pretender than Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, the jury's still out on them. I mean, they beat Kent State 33-3. I think what you realize is Lincoln Riley's offense is gone in Oklahoma, and they brought it. I mean, UTEP and Kent State. What the fuck can we learn in those games, right? Okay, their defense was really good against Kent State. Whoop-de-fucking-do. It's Kent State. Kent State, I mean, Bowling Green's defense is going to look good against Kent State. Right. So they haven't been tested. I think they absolutely are pretenders. I'm not bought in. They lost almost everyone. I know they added, you know, the Gabriel kid. I know they added some players from the portal, but I am not sold on Oklahoma, and I think they're absolutely a pretender. I think they might be, at best, a top 25 team.
I firmly believe that they are just NC State with a Jordan logo on their chest because they're Oklahoma. I bet that's what I think they are. And in reference, NC State is ranked outside the top 15, even though they were, you know, a very good team last year. Zach, I want to hit a couple super chats, then I want to circle back to Michigan because we're doing a coaches speak translation today, and we're gonna do a Michigan coach. But let me scroll up. I missed a lot of these. Let's see what we got. Oh. You guys are so funny, man. A lot of these super chats crack me up. The number one degenerate, our guy Cody. Let me scroll down a little bit and get.
Chris is struggling right now.
Oh no, it's just because I didn't have the chats up. I had the what's called up. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Have you seen any improvement in development in CJ Stroud since last year? Thanks. Thank you, Tommy V, for the 5.
So if you watch the breakdown I put on YouTube yesterday, there's still a number of things that didn't develop. And it's one game. So does it mean that maybe he just had some jitters first game, big matchup? Possibly. Like, we'll find out against Wisconsin. But there's certain scenarios where he evaded the pocket when he should have navigated it and delivered a strike. There's certain times he didn't step into a throw. He kind of fell off of it because he didn't want to get hit, or he just fundamentally just, you know, wasn't great. But then there were some throws that you watch. Like, there were some throws on the run where I was like, holy shit. Like, he didn't make those throws last year. He made some great throws last year, but some of those scramble throws were just out of this world. So yes, he's developed. I think Corey Dennis has done a decent job. We'll see how good of a job if these other things can get developed also. But I'm just telling you, if CJ Stroud starts taking off with the ball, we saw him scramble once against Arkansas State, whoop-de-fucking-do, right? And if he starts doing these things that I know he's getting coached by Ryan and Corey to do, then it's an A-plus offseason development. Right now, I'd say it's about a B-minus. So not good enough for Ohio State, but he has developed. He has gotten better.
Couple of rumors floating around, but I'm going to advise you not to comment any more on Tommy Reese's seat. We don't want to come across as haters. You know, it is what it is. Thank you, Connor, for the 2. I think Arkansas knocks off Bama at home. What about y'all? I think there's a chance. I absolutely think there's a chance.
That game in Tennessee are the 2 that I have circled to say, you know what? Something crazy might happen in one of these 2 games.
Scott Carpenter. I think Akron can beat Notre Dame right now. They, if I had any years of eligibility, I think so too, Scott. But Zach told me my eligibility's run out. He checked.
Let's not lose sight of the fact that that was a big win for Marshall. Shout out to Coach Huff getting that big dub. If you don't know who he is, he's the head coach at Marshall, was the running back coach for Nick Saban at Bama, and got that job when they fired Doc Holliday. Big win for him. So don't take credit away from Marshall.
I would never.
Go Herd.
Go Herd. Running with the Herd. Start, bent, cut. Just, this is my favorite game. All right.
Oh, God.
Eddie George, Zeke, Maurice Claret, and Archie Griffin.
Unfortunately, Archie Griffin's getting cut. I know he's a two-time Heisman winner, but the other three are just better football players. A lot of it's because of the advancement in sports science and training, and you can blame it on whatever you want. Archie was an unbelievable talent, and in his time, obviously, one of the best to ever do it. But if those four are on the team right now, Archie's getting cut, which is wild to say. Eddie George is starting, and Zeke and Claret are on the bench in backup roles. And I'm running a three running back system like Georgia did, and they're all eating.
Everybody eats. All right, that's it for Super Chats. Thank you so much, everybody, for contributing that way. That really helps support the show. So does the Patreon as well. The link is below me. Zach, our guy Jim Harbaugh had a press conference yesterday, had a couple things to say. I just want your take on a couple of these things before we get on out of here. He had this to say about J.J. McCarthy's performance against Hawaii. J.J. had a near flawless performance, 11 for 12, and then one was dropped. That's tough to do. That's tough to do every day of the week in practice. Thought he had a great game, played really well. Went on to see about the starter. You know, J.J. McCarthy will start going forward. Yeah, he earned that by merit and by performance.
I mean, he was set up. This was set up to happen. I mean, first of all, it is really hard on air to go 12 for 12. You know, and with one drop, that's really hard to do. So the kid played outstanding. I know it was Hawaii. That's hard to do against no defense. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch, but it is tough, right? He's not wrong there, but this was set up to happen, right? They started JJ this in the second game so that he could have the recency bias. They knew that Hawaii was the lesser of the two opponents. So, I mean, it by merit, by performance, he's all just throwing that out there for Cade McNamara. Like, listen, he earned this, all right? We're not benching you. JJ earned this. He's trying to talk to Cade McNamara to not make him, you know, salty that he lost his starting job.
Yeah. They went on to ask him, was this the toughest quarterback decision he's ever had to make in his coaching career? He said, it's very similar with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick because they're both playing great at one point during the season. We were 6-2 with Alex and playing great ball. Led us to an NFC championship the year before, but Colin got the start on Monday night against Chicago, yada, 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 yada. It felt like he was trying to kind of make Cade feel better. But Zach, what do you think about these?
It's comments? Entirely what it is. Now he's trying to relate it to the NFL, make Cade. This is all a massaging Cade McNamara's ego. Like, listen, you didn't lose the job. JJ just playing a little bit better. So he kind of won the job. It's like, what the fuck is the difference? Like if Cade McNamara didn't play as well as JJ McCarthy, he lost the fucking job. He got beat out. That's what happened. And I don't know why we have to sugarcoat this shit. It's college football, major college football. The player that's better will start. If you're not the best quarterback on the team, you're not starting. I'm sorry about your fucking ego and feelings. Fuck off. They can kiss my ass. We're going to start the best player. That's what he should have said. But it's all this massaging egos like a pussy. Just say it. JJ's the better player. We play the best here at Michigan. That's what he should have said.
Do you worry moving forward, like if he doesn't stroke the ego, do you think Cade leaves before he wastes the kind of the year of eligibility because of the four games that he has? You think that's part of this?
I don't know why he would stay at this point. He's not going to ever get that job back. I guess you could, you know, dream of a situation where your Cardale Jones and JT Barrett gets hurt. I mean, that's highly unlikely. So I think he should jump in the portal right now. JJ's the guy. I'm out of here. I want to save 1 year and go play somewhere.
He also said this is no demotion for Cade McNamara. He's been playing the best football. It's a promotion for JJ based on what he's been able to do as well.
What a pussy. It's not a demotion. You were the starting quarterback. Now you're the backup quarterback, but that's not a demotion. That is just simply another man's promotion. That sounds like the biggest used car sales bullshit I've ever fucking heard. Like, no, sorry. It's a demotion. You were the starter. Now you're the backup. It's a demotion. Chris.
It feels like it. He also said something about Cade McNamara having stone in his stomach and going to have to kind of toughen this one out. I'm not sure what that even means.
I have no idea. I've never heard that saying in my life. He has stone in his stomach. Got it.
Stone in his guts. Something of that nature. He was asked about JJ McCarthy's accuracy. He said playing the position is hard to do. Hitting guys in stride 40 or 50 yards downfield definitely was in the zone. It was really great to see. I wouldn't hold any quarterback to that standard. 100% completion percentage every night is from him was ridiculous.
Shut up, Jim. Like, no shit. You're not going to hold them to 100% completion percentage standard? No shit. Yeah, like, you really thought that people were wondering if you were going to expect him to finish the year with 100% adjusted completion percentage? Like, thank you for that nugget, Jim. We learned a lot from you.
Like, last week he called this quarterback decision biblical. Do you know what he's referring to with that one?
I'm very familiar with the Bible. I've yet to read a passage in the Bible or hear a sermon where it related to deciding on a quarterback. But in true Jim Harbaugh fashion, he can find a way to spin that, I guess. I don't know. I don't think Jesus cares who the starting quarterback is at Michigan. I'm actually pretty positive he doesn't.
I would hope not. That would go against everything that I learned, growing up in church. Zach, moving forward, is it important for Jim Harbaugh to stick to this? Because JJ McCarthy is a young quarterback, there's going to be moments where things are not going as well as they should. Does Jim have the guts to not go back to his wubby, his blanket, and put Cade McNamara back in if you see gunslinger pick here or there?
He absolutely. When you don't have conviction in a decision like this, you'll wobble back and forth, right? You'll flip-flop. You'll be on both sides of the fence. JJ struggles. You'll be like, maybe we should go with Cade. Maybe I made a mistake. Like, you don't have any conviction in your decision. We saw it in 2015 with Urban's decision at quarterback, right? It was Cardale. Oh, it's a mistake. Then he went to JT. Then JT, JT got a DUI. But, you know, and so he went back to Cardale. Then JT struggled. And should I go back to Cardale now? It's just, there was no conviction there. Just like Jim Harbaugh doesn't seem to have much conviction here. You can see it in his coach speak. Just like talking about this guy won the job, the other guy didn't get demoted. That's so that at one point he'd be like, well, now Cade's playing better. It's not a demotion for JJ. It's a promotion for Cade. It's just, it's nonstop. And it's always going to be that way from Jim Harbaugh because he doesn't have the balls to make a decision with conviction. JJ should have been the starter second half of last year going into the Ohio State game in the playoffs. And if he was, they had a better chance to win, just like he is now. He might struggle a little bit, but guess what? So would Cade McNamara if JJ McCarthy's struggling. So stick with your guns, have conviction. That's your QB1. Roll it.
Boom. I want to end the show like that, Zach. That was perfect.
All right, I appreciate everybody. I do want to mention our two sponsors that did not have, we did not do an ad read, but Prize Picks is an awesome daily fantasy pick module where you can pick a bunch of different players to hit fantasy numbers and win a ton of money. Go to Prize Picks with promo code Menace. You get a free deposit match. Also, MyBookie is the best site to gamble on if you want true sports gambling. Go to MyBookie this week. With promo code Menace, you get a double deposit match. So instead of, if you deposit $200, you'll get $400 free money to gamble. So go over to MyBookie right now and pick up that $400. We have our gambling expert coming on later in the week. By the way, he went fucking 4-0 in his picks he gave out on this show. So you better be tuned in Friday for his picks because he's got an analytical model that's scorching. So get your free money on MyBookie. Promo code Menace, $400, double your deposit match. And then come back on Friday, get the picks from our handicapper and win some fucking money. So anyways, Chris, that's all I got for you. That's all I got for the audience. Appreciate everybody. Menace out.